With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Blog Talk Radio.
Find yourself in danger when you're threatened by a stranger. When it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call for Super Chicken.
Oh my goodness gracious, welcome to the Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer radio show, where we give away more chicken coops and chicken-related prizes than anyone else on the planet, bar none. We are often imitated, but never duplicated. My name is Andy Schneider, but most know me as the Chicken Whisperer, author of The Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens, also known as... Well, I'm not even going to go there. My co-host is Pat Foreman, author of City Chicks, Chicken Tractor, and other great titles. Today is Fun Friday, if you can't tell already, August the 10th. And I would like to thank all of you for tuning in this afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. This is a live radio show that is broadcast around the world. This radio show is all about keeping backyard poultry, show poultry, and living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Each week, we welcome experts in their field to share their knowledge about different topics, including backyard poultry, show poultry, heritage poultry, gardening, cooking, and you guessed it, living a self-sufficient lifestyle. Be sure to visit our website, chickenwhisperer.com, where you can follow us on Twitter and become a fan on Facebook. Once again, I would like to thank all of you for tuning in to Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer.
When you need an incubator, think Brensey, the incubation specialist. Brensey has been a world-leading manufacturer of incubators for over 30 years. Incubators from 7 to 380 eggs with high-quality electronic and digital controls, including precise humidity control and programmable egg turning, all at surprisingly affordable prices. Visit them online at Brensey.com. Brensey spelled B-R-I-N-S-E-A. That's Brensey.com or call 1-888-667-7009. Enter the coupon code WHISPER at checkout and save 10% on their incubators, brooders, egg handlers, and other incubation accessories. When you need an incubator, think Brensey. Technology you can trust. Ware Manufacturing has been building quality hutches since 1983. Ware manufactures modern chicken hutches, barns, pens, and nest boxes designed especially for the backyard flock. Ware offers hutches and pens for every yard size and every chicken keeper's budget. Visit their website at waremfginc.com. That's waremfginc.com. Or call them to find a retailer near you at 1-888-824-7257. Ware Manufacturing.
And you can find all the great Ware products right here.
Critter-Cages.com is your one-stop shop for all your critters' housing needs. They stock a wide selection of supplies and equipment for rabbits, guinea pigs, hamsters, mice, rats, ferrets, chinchillas, chickens, and other small critters. Their chicken selection includes chicken barns, chicken coops, and chicken yards from top manufacturers. Your critters will love their selection of quality products, and you'll love their low prices. Visit them online at critter-cages.com. That's critter-cages.com.
And we'll do one more here for Fun Friday. And if you haven't noticed, if you're not a fan on Facebook, earlier this morning I posted a brand new chicken coop contest brought to you by these great folks.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Alrighty, I can already tell that today's just, it's going to be one of these days, I think. Don't you know it?
Oh, yeah!
Oh, my goodness, because it is Fun Friday, and...
Wow! I feel good!
Alrighty, thank you very much for tuning in today on Backyard Poultry with the Chicken Whisperer, and it is Fun Friday. We're not going to give away a whole lot of prizes today, but it's not really early anymore, but the early bird secret password happens to be... Anybody in the chat room want to sound off on what it might be? All righty, today's early bird secret password happens to be shh, professor. All righty, that's today's secret early bird password is professor. All righty, and Marianne and the rest. Go ahead and continue. What was that theme song from? Come on, post it in the chat room. All righty, we're a little crazy today. It is Fun Friday. We've gotten through another awesome week together. And we had great shows this week. I mean, all of them, I think, were very educational, very meaningful, very purposeful. And we had a fun time. We had great times. We had early bird secret password. We had a lot of winners. And then today we launched a new chicken coop contest. How awesome is that? It's going to run for about a month. And very easy. You don't have to actually... You don't actually have to be listening live. When we give this coop away, we will be calling the winner live, however, on the radio show. No secret passwords to collect, nothing like that. All you got to do is send us an email. Very, very, very simple. Actually, last I heard, you'll have basically a choice of one of, I think, 3 coops, I believe. Now, don't hold me to that. That's how it was last time we did a contest a couple of months ago with our great sponsor, MyPetChicken.com. And you could choose from one of 3 coops that they have there selected. They're all about in the same price range, about $500, $550, and that includes shipping. And so you can choose. I believe there's the Salt Box, the Four Square, and I think it's called the Bungalow. How appropriate. Come on over to my chicken bungalow. And so we got a bungalow as well, I believe it's called. So very cool there. So all you got to do to enter to win is send me an email. How simple is that? If you can't do that, you don't deserve to win. So this is what you need to do. It's for anybody in the lower 48 states. Sorry about our awesome fans in Canada and Europe and Andreas in Norway and our Australia friends and Hawaii and Alaska and all of them. Okay, lower 48 states, and all you have to do to enter the contest is send me an email. And here's the address for the contest, hence the address. It is contest@chickenwhisperer.net. That's simple. contest@chickenwhisperer.net. When you send the email, if you do it wrong, you will be disqualified. in the subject line, put chicken coop contest. In that little subject line, chicken coop contest. And then down in the email, I need your name, your shipping address, your phone number, and your email. If you don't put your phone number, disqualified. No email, disqualified. The question is moot. So that's all it is. Yeah, your cell phone is fine. Yep. If you don't have a phone at all, lucky you. But just put that down. Don't have a phone. And then I'll just have to email you if you're the winner. But we are going to call the winner. It'll be random drawing. There's an awesome website. I think it's called random.com or random.org. And you put in number 1 through 1,053 or however many people enter the contest. And you click a button and it comes up with a truly random number. That will be the winner. That's who we're going to call. The contest will actually run. Yeah, see, here on the radio show, you get to disqualify folks. You don't fire them like the Donald. You're fired. Nope, you're disqualified. Gotta love it. Dragonflyer forgot to put in her email. Oh, you know what that means. Dragonflyer. And you can't enter twice. You can only enter once. If you enter twice, then you will be disqualified. So here, let me find this here, and I'll play this for Dragon Flyer here. So sorry.
La, 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 la.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Can we start over again? Oh, my goodness. She's in the chat room. Oh, you're out of here, says Fiona. Got to love it. I don't know, a Dragon Flyer, you know, if you want to still enter the contest, maybe we can work something out. Come on over to my bungalow later. That's one of the coops I think you could win. It's called the bungalow. Gotta love it. Beachfront bungalow for your chickens. And today it's on House Hunters for $4.6 million. So, yeah, come on over. And somebody's messaging me on Facebook. Let's see who it is. Okay. Just get some information about a possible prize today from, maybe she can get in the chat room. Maybe so. Anyway, having a great time today. We've got a great show. We've got Dr. Bridget McCray, PhD, poultry scientist, professor, small flock specialist, extension guru, all of that. I mean, I can just go on and on and on and on. Co-author of Chicken Whisperer's Guide to Keeping Chickens. And she's got two star students, brainiacs, I may add. two star students. Apparently, I can't scroll up because it already disappeared. I think it was Brittany and Ashley. Yeah, can't forget those two. I think I met them both up at Cooptastic, Brittany and Ashley. And what happened, they all attended an awesome poultry science conference at the University of Georgia, Go Dogs. And I think they presented there at the conference, and I think they attended some people that were presenting, and they're going to share their knowledge today about some certain topics that they learned while they were at the conference. So very, very cool there, and we're so glad to have them on. Again, we've already announced the secret password today. We'll give that prize away a little bit later. And if there's time, I may give a couple of other prizes away. But, yes, that was contest. No contests. So Pamela had a question in the chat room. So to enter the contest, it's just contest, C-O-N-T-E-S-T, C-O-N-T-E-S-T, at chickenwhisperer.net. And so that is... there you go. Okay, very good. And so let's get over here and see if Pat's joining us today. I don't think so. She's probably in the pharmacy. I know she works most Fridays, and so we're going to miss her, of course, today. But again, a little later on, if you got the secret password, then there'll be a great prize for you. You can call in and win. We may have a couple of other prizes as well today. But again, we've had great shows this week. Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, on Monday. Tuesday, we talked about actually setting up our setup here homestead that we'll be videotaping for Tractor Supply. Let's see, Wednesday. God, let me think what we had on Wednesday. This is crazy. Oh, we had two
small business owners that came on Wednesday to share about their new inventive products, which was a really great and interesting show. Yesterday, Richard Frubenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, talked about Speedy Compost. And then today, again, awesome show with Dr. Bridget McCray and a couple of her students, Brittany and Ashley, that are going to come on here in a few minutes and tell us all about and educate us a little bit more on some topics they learned at a conference. And also they presented, and I was told that maybe if we sweet talk them a little bit, that they will share some of what they shared at the conference, some of their presentations as well, versus just some presentations that they actually sat in on and are now going to share information with us. So very, very, very cool. Alrighty, very good. Chat room slowly but surely filling up. I want to welcome all of you that are able to come in the chat room. If you can't, but you're still listening live because your work has blocked the chat, I'm sorry, but thank you for tuning in. All the over-the-road truck drivers, the homeschoolers, hey, it's Friday, kids. Looking forward to the weekend. And then finally, all the Feed and Seeds across the country that stream this radio show live. I guess it's a good thing that the folks in the Feed and Seeds can't see the chat room. Because it gets kind of crazy on Fridays because everybody is ready for the weekend. So, all right, let's just go ahead, get over here to the phone lines. I'm just kind of ecstatic because we're giving away yet another chicken coop contest. Everybody loves that. And we'll go ahead and go over here to the phone lines, and we're going to bring on good friend, co-author, and all-around great, intelligent chicken lady. That would be Dr. Bridget McCray. Hey, Doc, welcome.
Hi, Andy, and howdy to all those listeners out there. How you doing today?
I'm doing sweeter than snuff and half as dusty. Or my other one that I use sometimes, I'm finer than frog hair split four ways. So gotta love it. How are you doing?
Good. I've got two very excited young people in my office here that are waiting to share some good poultry information with y'all.
We're like a sponge when we have the experts on. We just want to be a sponge and absorb all this information because you just never know when we walk outside to our coops what we'll be able to utilize from something we heard on the show or learned from folks that we have on the show. So we're definitely always anxious to do that. Who is? Tell us a little bit first, kind of start this off, if you would, about telling us about this conference at UGA. What was it all about? Who actually attended? And then kind of what Brittany and Ashley are going to be sharing with us today, and then we'll bring them on.
Okay. Well, every year, the Poultry Science Association holds a conference at different locations in the United States. And this year, 2012, it was held at the University of Georgia. Oftentimes, but not all the time, they will focus around poultry universities, and it was the turn for University of Georgia, and they held a wonderful conference at a great conference venue, plenty of meeting rooms, and a beautiful campus. And so we drove down from Delaware. It was about a 12-hour drive, and I know these two young hens here looked at me askance when I said, oh, yeah, we're going to leave at 6 or 5 or 6 in the morning. So.
Which
but we got there in plenty of time.
They probably had to wake up at 3 to fix their hair.
Well, I know one of them didn't go to sleep the night before.
Oh, goodness.
And the other slept all the way through Virginia. So so honestly, this conference is held for poultry scientists and students as well as those in industry to get together every year and talk about research that they have been doing and presenting some results. So there were about 150 students in attendance, and there were about 500 people at the conference. So, and there were several international speakers and international students. So it is about 4 days long total. And the last day is the banquet and the award ceremony. And I will be quite happy to say that both students received awards. Ashley also received an award, a certificate of excellence for her presentation. I'll let her talk a little bit about her presentation in just a moment. And unfortunately, both students ended up competing with each other. Brittany is an undergraduate, a pre-vet major here at Delaware State University in the College of Agriculture and Related Sciences. And Ashley is a graduate student here in the College of Agriculture and Related Sciences. She is my graduate student working on a poultry project. And Brittany's particular interest is to really get herself into vet school. But actually, Ashley wants to get into vet school, too. And they did tour the University of Georgia campus and the vet school and found it rather pleasing and very exciting. There is an agreement at Delaware State University with the University of Georgia that they have a seat for a qualified student. So some schools have those agreements, and so I thought it was a great opportunity for both of these ladies to check out the university and see if it's one that they would like to attend while we were down there. They also have a very good program at Poultry Science. It's called the Hatchery, and what it is to kind of develop young poultry scientists. And I think both Ashley and Brittany can talk to you a little bit about some of the programs that they offered, some of the speakers and the topics that they covered just for the Hatchery members. So I think, who wants to go first? Okay. I think Brittany is going to go first, and so I will turn everything over to Brittany. So here you go, Miss Brittany Lister.
Hello, how are you?
Hey, Brittany, how are you doing?
I'm great, thank you.
Awesome, thank you very, very much for joining us today. And we are definitely, and all of our listeners are definitely ready to just be a sponge and learn all this great stuff from you that you have to share with us. We appreciate you coming on today, and we're ready and willing and anxious to hear and get educated.
Awesome.
So I'll turn it over to you.
Great. Well, again, my name is Brittany Lister, and I'm a pre-vet major here at Delaware State University. And I would like to start off by talking about the project in which I presented at Poultry Science. My project was on the benefits of owning small flocks as seen by small flock owners in the Mid-Atlantic region. Dr. McCray and I worked to develop a survey which we were able to hand out at local feed stores, as well as the Small Flock Poultry Expo here in Maryland and various other locations, which really helped us get a wide range of those who participated in our survey. By the time we had collected all of our surveys, we ended with 152 surveys collected from over 6 different states and 27 counties. We got surveys from Pennsylvania, Maryland, New Jersey, West Virginia, and Virginia. So we had a good array of, and Delaware, and a good array of surveys from all over. What we did was designed a survey to see how attached owners feel to their small flocks and whether or not their small flocks have an impact on their stress levels. And the results were very exciting to us both. We were able to determine that, believe it or not, a majority of those surveyed had very, very high attachment levels to their small flocks.
Mm-hmm.
We also were able to see that owning a small flock can help reduce your stress by 21%. So that
wow.
was very, yes, it was very exciting findings. We do hope to broaden our survey, and we do plan to present it at Cooptastic, which is held here, and hope to get more results and fine-tune it a little bit and be able to get better results. And we hope to be able to publish something, too, to allow other people to see our findings. So
that's awesome.
Exciting.
So 21, you said, I think you said 21% less stressful, and
yes.
Perfect. And so that, so when we go around and we say, when I tell folks and reporters and TV stations that people claim that chickens can be quite therapeutic, well, then now we kind of have a study that says pretty much that 21% less stress if
yes.
you keep a small flock. That's awesome.
Yes, and it was based on like a 1 to 10 scale, with 1 being little to no stress and 10 being very stressed. And at the first question, a majority of those that we surveyed had stress levels between a 3 and 8, so moderately low to moderately high. And then when we had put the results for the stress afterwards, those surveyed had stress levels of a 3 and lower. So their stress levels had decreased greatly by their interactions with their small flocks. So it was really interesting to see. And then this year we'll be able to collect more data so we can solidify those results.
So, pardon me, so the it'll be available at Cooptastic as well, where people can fill out a form or fill out the questionnaire.
Yes, well, actually at Cooptastic, we're going to try a new way of collecting data where we're going to be using clickers. So we'll have groups come in, probably 10 at a time, and I will administer the survey to them, and they'll be able to use a clicker to input their answers, and that'll help with our data collection as well.
Oh, that's very cool. Very, very cool. And is that this is something you presented at the conference?
Yes. Yes, I presented my results. Yep.
Very good. Now, when small flock, what is for the study? What was the definition of small flock? Was it typical backyard 6 to 12 hens? Was it small flock, as in small production flock? What definition comes along with small flock for the in the survey?
We didn't quite have a definition of small flock. It was you have to let me ask Dr. McCray. What was our definition of small flock?
We actually just asked people if they had a small flock of chickens.
We just asked about small flocks of chickens, not other poultry.
Okay.
So luckily, I guess I would have to say that didn't come up as a question while we were administering our surveys.
Perfect. No problem. Now, were the majority of the folks at this at the university, were they the big company folks like Purdue and Tyson and Cargill and places like big companies and processors and hatcheries and things, or was it more related to small flock? And if it was more of the big boys there, how did they? What kind of acceptance did you get and feedback did you get from specifying and working with and kind of promoting with your study small flock?
Well, the conference actually had a wide array of people.
Mm-hmm.
There was a couple from the bigger companies such as Purdue and them, but there was also a lot of universities, poultry departments that were there. I met a couple from Auburn University who had worked there, as well as a nice lady from Avigen who also works with poultry. And so it was a very wide array, but everybody there was really, really wonderful. I had even met a professor from Cornell who sat in during my talk. So it was a very diverse group of people there, and people did have talks such as, commercials and lighting, but then there was also talks on the proper ways to clean different forms and things like that. So it was kind of all over the board, and there was even talks on when you're a pre-vet student and looking towards using or taking a poultry route and just various things like that. So it was very diverse, and everybody who I interacted with was very wonderful.
That's really cool. That's pretty cool. And so this was something that you presented on there.
Yes.
Presented there. Awesome. Very, very cool. That's awesome.
Yes, it was a good experience. I was a little nervous because that was my first time doing a really big conference, but it was very beneficial, and I got a lot of great feedback on things I could do to improve and things that, where I did great. So it was just an all-around good experience for me.
Yeah, that's super. You've come and inspired the chat room. They're talking about all kinds of different therapy, from dog and bird therapy, pet therapy, things like that in the chat room. They're talking about that. And I know Pat has Oprah Winfrey, which she uses for, pet therapy when she goes around and tours around the country as well. So that's really awesome. How long do you have in school? I guess a long time if you're going to go for to get your vet, but how long with your undergraduate?
I have 2 more years here at Delaware State, and then I'll go on for the 4 years of vet school.
Whew, 8 years.
Yes.
My goodness,
yes.
Yes. Don't worry, the light at the end of the tunnel is a bad job market. I'm just kidding, sweetie.
I can only hope. No. Many people have told me when you want to become a vet, you're definitely not doing it for the money.
So, no, it's definitely a lifelong love, without a doubt. You know that,
yes.
and a lot of us know that, and you got to have that. You got to have that if you're going to be working with animals all day long.
Absolutely.
So I guess are you doing a farm animal? Are you going to specialize in poultry or just a general across the board? Well, and soon, once you start your 4 years of vet school, then you'll get to try on those long shoulder-length gloves and go through that class as well.
I must admit, I've worn those gloves before, and I was quite surprised. I actually think I would like to do farm animal. Currently, I work on our state farm or school farm with goats and sheep, which I really have enjoyed.
Yeah, that's awesome.
So, I mean, my first passion was dogs. So I got into it for that. And I have, throughout the years, done different jobs interacting with them. And so I would like to do dogs and cats, but I'd also like to do farm animals.
Is there a, is there, let's see how I'm going to word this. Is there different, are there better, is there, I don't want to say better future, but as far as, is there more of a need for farm animal vets versus kind of the dog and cat vets that, you know, I guess there's fewer of them than there would be dog and cat, or are right. the opportunities out there better for either, or if it's pretty much, hey, you know, if you can find a place where it's needed and the population's there, the need is there, then it's a win-win?
I think it's a little of both. I definitely think there is more of a need for food animal just because most, the majority of those entering vet school, that's not their career choice. They're going in for dogs and cats. Like, for example, the University of Georgia, their graduating class for food animals, only 3% of the graduating class went for food animal.
Wow. So
there's definitely a market there. And the amount of the different variations of jobs you can get with that degree help it a lot, too. And there's even grants proposed to you for going for food animal. With you would work in rural areas after you get out of school and possible jobs with the USDA and things like that. So there's a lot of benefits to going to that route. And I personally myself have a pet sheep. And I learned a lot just from reading, but calling around, like when he's had a problem, I have yet to find anybody who really knows a lot about sheep and goats for that matter. So I'm like, I feel like in the future this is going to be a popular area because more and more people are owning their own livestock for, you know, reasons that they see fit. So I do believe that, you know, even small animal will one day include goats and sheep as as pets. So I'm hoping that I'm getting on that train before it explodes.
Yeah, no, exactly. Yeah, and you had mentioned, I was going to say that as too, opportunities with the USDA and inspection service, and you know, there's, I'm sure there may be more job opportunities at the government level with that major than maybe there's the dog and cat level too, or maybe even big corporate companies as well than dog or cat, because you've got the whole agricultural gamut versus just Joe and Sue down here that have a Labrador.
Right, right, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly. That's perfect. Anything else that you would like to share with us? Any other? I know Dr. McRae said something about sharing both kind of what you presented and maybe sharing about a topic or something in a presentation y'all set in on. But she's the boss, so I'll let her kind of deem that. But if there's anything else you'd like to share, please, you're welcome to do so.
Oh, I would. I would actually like to share a talk that I was extremely interested in
seeing
while I was at the Poultry Science Association.
Great.
A gentleman had presented a topic on using audio features to guess the age of a flock, which I found really interesting because it sounds interesting. So what they would do was they would use a computer, and they would record the chickens in the house or whatever, and their goal was to use that automated program to assess the flock sounds. Now, what they hope to do within the future is be able to assess the general health and the stress levels in these flocks. So I thought that was very interesting. They hope to use it for like an early detection. So they used 400 cobs and 500 boilers, and they mimicked in a commercial setting. They recorded for 62 days continuously. And when they had surveyed other people as well as the computer, they had a 74.2% accuracy on guessing the age of the flock.
Really?
Yes. And they had
just from sounds.
Yes. Isn't that amazing?
Jeez.
And they also had a 94.2% guessed within 1 week of the air, like 1 week of the age.
Okay. Well, since I know my wife's age, I still don't have to listen to her, though, right?
No, absolutely not. But you have to live with her, so.
There you go. You know. That's the key right there.
Use your best judgment on that.
Smart girl. So this would be used in the maybe the commercial industry to identify maybe some problems that are going on just by sound. They invent the software that monitors the sound, and when the sound does whatever reading, then it may alert, say, the manager of the farm and say, hey, we may have an issue in barn number 4 or in house number 4. Am I reading that the right way?
That's exactly what they hope to do with this, to be able to identify any kind of stresses or even if there's a sickness going on in the house, to be able to identify, you know, the sound the chicken makes when stressed to the house if it's stressed or not. So the gentleman's results were very early, but they were just really fascinating at how accurate they were.
Yeah, and that's very accurate for really a first-time study like that. So that's
absolutely.
We've got some moaning and groaning going on in barn 16. We better go see what's going on. And the next thing you know, they've got, like you said, sniffly sneezies going on. That's really, really interesting and a neat diagnosed. And this is someone, Dr. McCray says, the study Brittany is describing was really novel so that perhaps a flock can get diagnosed sooner if they get sick. Yeah, absolutely. When they're starting to, that's really neat. Oh, we can hit this with whatever medications we need or separate this or
right.
whatever. And then treat it, and then save the chickens' lives, and which will very, very, very cool.
Yeah,
who knows?
A lot of times, you know, they're feeling the way they feel on the inside, but they're vocalizing. But we don't understand what that vocalizing means until we see the physical signs of it. So the early detection could really help a lot with that.
And Dr. McCray in the chat room also, as for our listeners who aren't able to get in the chat room, many commercial growers that are really good with their birds say that they can hear it when their birds feel poorly or are stressed. So that totally makes sense. I mean, those of us who have fed chickens, you know, that distinct sound, you go outside, maybe you have some treats for them, and they're just out in the shade taking a dust bath, or they're scratching for birds, and that calm and soothing, just kind of a little coo that they make. So versus, you know, we know the noise when one of them looks up and sees a hawk flying above and the squawking and things, a little bit stressful there. So that is really neat, the science that's going on that folks may not even think that goes on with the commercial poultry. Just like, you know, people like to bash commercial poultry, and you know, it's, you know, we have listeners from all gamuts, so I don't need to receive emails. But I talked to a developer of the, for example, the Isa Brown, which is really a commercial bird, and he says they really work very hard to try to kind of breed out any aggressiveness, so they don't have the problems with the pecking and the picking and all of that kind of stuff. So a lot of science and research goes in to try to not only just process. I mean, we know that goes in as far as more meat and faster, but we know that a lot of research goes into doing things more humanely, or try to do things more humanely and do studies like that. So it can take many years of raising chickens before you get good enough to hear your chickens if they feel poorly. Many of us only see our chickens feeling
right.
poorly. Yep, absolutely. And unfortunately, a lot of times we see our chickens feeling poorly when we go outside and they're dead in the corner. And
right.
I'm not saying that's bad for anybody, because you and I both know, Dr. McCray knows, that chickens do a great job of masking and hiding illness because they don't want to lose the pecking order. If I feel weakness, if I show any type of weakness, then I'll lose the pecking order, and then I may start getting pecked on, and I'll get, so they conceal it until the next thing you know, you walk outside and there's a dead bird there.
Yeah.
So they're good with hiding that and compensating for their illness or weakness. Absolutely.
And that was a surprising thing to me, is at the conference there was a lot of different talks that, you know, I might have caught in between, where it was more of a commercial talk, and they were talking about trying, you know, different light intensities and different ways of raised floor and lowered floors to help make the atmosphere for the chickens more suitable. You know, I had visited one, it was for the effects of light intensity, where they're using under the 5 lux, I believe it is, to see if it helped with the bird activity and fearfulness, and just the different effects that the light can have on it. Now, when the light was lower, it had increased feed efficiency, and obviously it decreased the bird activity. And when they had increased the light, they actually noticed that increasing the light caused more problems. The chickens ended up having more leg problems and more metabolic disorders by raising the light in the birdhouses.
Really?
Yes. It was very interesting.
So maybe there is, we've known this, there's merit to maybe, I'm going to throw in a little plug here, there might be merit to using a Brinsea EcoGlow that produces heat without having a blinding light of a 125-watt bulb under a brooder lamp for all these little chicks that are trying to take a nap. So you've got this 125 watts and bright light shining in their eyes versus maybe a Brinsea EcoGlow that just kind of sits there in the brooder and produces this nice even flow of heat that's a little bit, we think, more fire preventative than this
right.
big heat lamp. So the interesting stuff. That's really interesting.
It was. very beneficial.
Perfect, perfect. Would you recommend it for others to go and to attend? Next, how often is it? I don't think it's every year, is it?
Yes, the poultry science is every year, correct, Dr. McCray? Yes, it is every year.
Every year. And is it at different locations or always at UGA?
Nope, it's at different locations every year. Next year it will be in San Diego, California.
Geez, on the other side of the world.
Yeah,
don't.
But, you know, if you need a vacation, you can make it educational and get a vacation.
And write it off on your taxes. And
there
have fun
you go.
I'm learning about chickens.
It's got to think outside the box, you know?
Religion, I'm learning about chickens.
And they have tons of various talks on various topics going on all the time. So, I mean, there really is something for everyone. It was great. They had behavioral talks and different talks about pathology and feeding. And, I mean, it was just great. So if someone definitely, it would be well worth it to go.
Perfect.
Yes.
Any other things that you would like to share?
I did actually would like to share another result from my survey.
Okay, great.
Cray has presented in front of me. another question or aspect to our survey that we found really interesting was we had asked owners to tell us the primary and secondary reason why they purchased a flock. We had listed the choices of eggs, meat, pet, show, and breeding as reasons why owners chose to purchase a flock.
Okay.
A majority of our owners chose eggs as the primary reason for owning a flock,
mm-hmm.
with their secondary reason as being a pet.
Really?
So we had, you know, our survey showed that people definitely like a benefit with a pet. So that was very interesting to see.
That's interesting too, because I've found when I talk to a lot of people and are helping people get set up all across the country, that if when I ask them why they're kind of getting set up with chickens, I've found if their children happen to be standing there with them, the first answer out of their mouth always seems to be education. My kids think that broccoli comes from a truck that then comes from Publix, or they think eggs come in a carton that comes from Publix. There was a study done over in Europe that showed people from 16 to 25 years old, the majority of them thought eggs came from wheat. It was insane.
Why?
Yeah, it's crazy. And so I'm sure in America we're not too far from that. But then if their kids weren't with them, if their kids weren't standing there right with them, then they ended up was the egg, you know, for fresh eggs. Pets came down. But, of course, these were new chicken keepers.
Mm-hmm.
So they probably figured education and eggs, but they still have not maybe had their chickens long enough to figure out the pet aspect or the composting benefits or the fertilizer benefits. And that's probably true now that I think about it, because a lot of people – when I say, hey, they make great pets, they look at me kind of weird, but then that's the first thing when I see them later on, 6 months down the road, 2 years down the road, after we're helping them get started, they're like, you know, I thought you were a little nutty when you said chickens are great pets, but now that I've had them for so many, however long, you're right. They are great pets. They're therapeutic, less stress, like you say, really a part of the family. So it may be when I'm asking, it's too preliminary regarding that. So it was eggs first and then pets. Second, as far as why they decided to get chickens.
Why they decided to purchase them, yep.
Interesting. Okay. Were there any other answers that had smaller percentages, like compost? Because, you know, we'll have a vegan that listens, say, to the show and big fan, and they have chickens in the backyard for specifically pets, fertilizer, and, say, composting. They give away the eggs. They don't eat their chickens. They don't eat the eggs or anything like that. So they have them for the other great benefits of having a few in the backyard versus eggs and meat. So they'll do pets and composting and fertilizer. And insect control and things like that. So other lists that came in at a smaller number?
The smaller ones, for the primary reason, the next second highest answer would have been pet. And then show was the third highest for the primary reason originally bought a flock. But, you know, it's very interesting you said that. I would have never thought to put compost down as a reason to buy a small flock. Oh, Dr. McCray just got really excited. now you're just giving me more work. But through the survey, we really got some great suggestions and various ways to change our survey. Like, we really didn't associate breeds or varieties of chickens with attachment levels. Like, we had a couple of surveyors who are participants who actually would pinpoint members of their flock by breed and be like, I really don't like that one. You know, so that was really an interesting outcome from that. So that's a new topic that we'll be adding to our survey, is the type of chicken you own, and see how that affects attachment and stress as well.
Very cool. Yeah. Absolutely. Any other, were there any other questions on the list you'd like to share? That's pretty neat.
It was. Well, a study, or in the past, 5 years, the small flocks have increased, like the sales for small flock magazines and hatchery sales have increased. And we noticed that a majority of those who responded to our survey had owned their chickens 5 or less years. So that had also corresponded with that survey. So we thought that was interesting to see that, and it did indeed match that growing trend.
Cool. Awesome. You know, what y'all need to do, I told Dr. McCray this, she said, just, hey, just give me the money, as I think that y'all need to, at your university, this would be awesome. I know you got to get the money first, but I've always wanted to do this, mainly, not that I care one way or the other, but so people who are spending $35 a bag for organic feed have in their mind knowledge that it's worth it. If we take, we buy 25 chicks from the same hatchery, we get them. We raise 25 with non-medicated starter, organic, organic layer, everything. Filtered water, Perrier if you want to. I mean, whatever the case may be. And then the others are basically just the good old store bought this, that, and the other, and we'll vaccinate the hell out of them and all this kind of stuff. And then all of a sudden when they start laying, look at those eggs. Test them for, you know, all kinds of stuff, cancer-causing agents, chemicals, the, you know, omega-3s, cholesterol, all this stuff, and then see if $35 a bag for organic feed is worth it when you're scrambling those eggs in the pan. Would love to see a study like that. Don't care what my fans do, but I just, you know, when I see people buying organic food for $35 a bag, I would love to have a study that shows that it's scientifically and proven to be worth it. Even though we know Joe Salatin says, hey, if you think, you know, healthy food is expensive, try paying bills from when you get cancer, or try paying your healthcare bills. I mean, I get that. I'm all about that. But I would love to have a study like that. I've always, I think from day one, I've been begging for a kind of a study like that.
That would be quite interesting to see those results.
I would love it. I would absolutely love it. So very, very cool. All righty. Well, I'll continue. Anything else that you'd like to share?
Oh, no, I think I'm good. Is there anything else that I could...
Let me see if in the chat room if there are any questions for you. Let me post here. Give me just a second. It's about a 20-second delay, but please post any questions you may have in the chat room. Any questions or comments?
I must also say this is my first radio interview, so I hope I did okay.
You're doing absolutely fabulous. Cool, calm, and collected. No problem at all. Doing absolutely wonderful. Let me see what we got here. Let's see. Any questions or comments in the chat room? If so, we can bring you back on, and then we can ask you, I'm sure, regarding that. So we thank you very much for joining. Really interesting information about the survey of why they got pet chickens, especially about, you know, you're talking about sitting in that one about the sounds. That's absolutely fascinating.
Yeah.
And then the other issues about less stress. With the chickens, that's perfect. Now, a lot of people who keep chickens, they're like, I know this, but now I actually have a kind of a study or some information from folks that say, yes, they're, I like to have a nice Merlot sitting on the back deck watching my Rhode Island Red scratch for feed, so got scratch for bugs. Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for joining us. You're welcome back absolutely anytime you want to come back on.
Oh, thank you so much. I hope to be back on. Maybe after PSA next year, I'll have more on the listening to chicken audio.
I tell you what we're going to do. We're going to reach out to our chat room chickeneers right now, and we're going to have them put a letter grade in the in the chat room. I just put the first letter grade there for your interview, the information you shared, the amount of interesting information you shared that just kind of was like fascinating. Oh. And so I have everybody in the chat room. It's about a 20-second delay here. Go ahead and put yeah, – there we go. We're getting some A's here. Post what you thought about the interview, and then maybe, just maybe, this will reflect over to Dr. McCray for your report card. So thank you very
much. Oh, I hope so.
Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, and I'm going to go ahead and turn it over to Ashley.
Sounds great.
Hello.
Hey, Ashley, how you doing?
Hi, I'm great.
Are you the Ashley I met when I was at Cooptastic?
No, I didn't go to Cooptastic last year.
Okay, well, I thought I met an Ashley. It might have been a Ashley, but I thought I met an Ashley when I was at Cooptastic. So
yes, there's a million Ashleys.
There is. So, all righty. Well, thank you very much for joining us, and that was fascinating with Brittany, and we're all ears. We're going to be a sponge and just try to absorb all this great information you're going to share with us. So you're going to start off with something that you presented, or maybe we can do that if you like, or something that you sat in on up there during a presentation, and you can share us your experience with that.
Okay. Well, I will start off with my research and then talk about the couple talks that I found interesting. For my research, it's titled Chickens Used as Insect Control in a Pole-Llama Bean Plot, and we presented the preliminary results for the study. The purpose of this study was to basically evaluate the effectiveness of using single-comb white leghorn laying hens for integrated pest management in a pole-llama bean plot.
So let me ask you this. My first question is, because I grow butter beans, I've never grown lima beans. So do lima green beans grow up a pole like you got bush beans and you got pole beans for snap beans? Do all lima beans grow up a pole, or is there different varieties? Can you get like regular lima beans would grow like a butter bean, more like a bush on the ground, and then or can you get a variety that grows up a pole? Maybe I'm asking you the wrong question. Maybe as from the animal aspect, you might not know that.
No, that's fine. Actually, lima beans, there is a pole variety and also a bush variety. We did the pole, so we have a bamboo pole that's in the middle of the bean plant so that the beans can actually grow up, and they are on plastic mesh and wire to help support the weight because they get huge.
Well, that makes sense, because then we know as the chickens are roaming through that they'd only be able to eat enough of the blooms as far as it could actually reach. So everything above that, in fact, that's where I'm interested in this, to see if you notice that they ate just as far as they could reach up, if they ate the blooms, and then from basically 18 to 2 feet up, all the way up the rest were beautiful lima beans, but for as far as where the chickens could reach, there were no leaves or beans or bugs or blooms or nothing. So I'm all ears because this is very interesting. I just had that question about lima beans because I've never planted them before.
Okay. Well, we use lima beans because that's what was available to us at the time. So we use the pole lima beans, and we do know that the chickens are short. Mm-hmm. So we actually did see a difference in one of the actual insects that we actually paid attention to, because we paid attention to five in particular insects. We looked at Mexican bean beetles, brown stink bugs, brown marmorated stink bugs, green stink bugs, and also spider mites. And the spider mites infestation starts at the lower level of the plant and then spreads quickly to the rest of the plant. So for the spider mites, we had a control area, an area that was sprayed with pesticides, and then an area that just had the chickens, and the area with the chickens was not sprayed with pesticides. So the area that just had the chickens in it actually had a lower amount of spider mites than the other two areas. And that made sense because the infestation starts at the lower level of the plant, where with the Mexican bean beetles and also the stink bugs, they have wings. And if you see, it's kind of like if I'm standing out there, the stink bug's probably not going to come land on my shoulder or try to be around me. It's probably going to try to get away from me. So if you see the chickens at the bottom, it's probably gonna, they actually stay closer to the top, where the spider might stay towards the bottom. So we actually did see that a lot of people were concerned as to whether the chickens were going to consume the beans or if they were going to mess up the plant or anything like that. And they actually didn't. They had fun. Even now, they're just sitting underneath of the beans, using them for shade, running around them, running from me, running in between everything. But they're not actually eating them. They're basically dust bathing and stuff underneath of them. But they're not eating them, and we actually did harvest the beans to see if they actually were going to consume it or if the chickens being there actually did make a difference in the yield. However, we had aviary netting going over the top of the structure last summer, and the beans were allowed to grow through the aviary netting because the pole beans, they're going to grow as high as they have support to grow. So when they reached the aviary netting, they just grew, they grew through the aviary netting, where the other two sections, the control section and also the section that was sprayed with the pesticides, the beans just stopped growing like when it got to the top of the actual pole that they were on. So this year, the aviary netting is actually higher up, and the beans can't reach the aviary netting. So when we do the yield, it'll be fair to all this time. But also we looked at, because our chickens were in production at the time, so we took that opportunity to collect the eggs and test the functional properties to see the differences and similarities between free-range eggs and also commercial eggs. So, because a lot of small flock owners will make statements saying that, oh, my eggs are better because they have small flocks and they enjoy eating their eggs. We did not do a taste test. The kind of things that we tested were functional properties. So we made angel food cakes, which is just with the egg whites, and we made mayonnaise to test emulsification, and we also tested foam stability. And there was actually no difference found between the free-range eggs and also the commercial eggs. And we didn't do taste tests. That is one thing that we do want to do, the sensory test, to see if they actually taste better or not. We also looked at the albumin height and also the roche color, which is the color of the yolk. There was no differences found. The only difference found with that was with the roche, with the roche color, which is the color of the yolk, the free-range chickens had a darker, like a more orangish-red color yolk than the commercial eggs. And this is because of the xanthophylls and the vegetation that they were actually allowed to consume being outside on the grass. So free-range eggs and commercial eggs, they weren't found to be different in those aspects. But we can do other things such as, you know, sensory tests to see if people like them better. But when it comes to baking and cooking, they're essentially the same.
Interesting. So, so they are they're good insect controllers. We've of course known that. We pushed that when we talked to city council, and so y'all were just using a kind of a white leghorn layers. Okay, good.
These all single comb white leghorn layers. They were all 18 months of age when I got them. So they were older, they weren't younger. So another thing we would want to test is, what if you put chicks out there, or if you put started pullets out there, if you put younger birds out there, period, how would they affect it? Or if you put them on a different crop altogether, like if you did use bush beans instead of the pole beans, because they do have a disadvantage to the pole beans because they are a lot shorter than the actual plant.
Yes, like I don't think I'd get a harvest at all with all the chicks eating the blooms off the plants. And if I did happen to have some peas come in or beans, they might eat those too. So, yeah, that completely makes sense. So using a pole bean or something like that, if you got the chickens out there doing insect control.
Yes, but they did a good job, you know, with the ones that didn't have wings. With the stink bugs and also the Mexican bean beetles, the adult forms of them do have wings, and they fly away when I start messing with the habitat and everything, too, because we have to count the bugs every week. So when you start messing with the leaves, they start flying away.
So you went out there every week to count bugs?
Yes. I worked with the entomologist who taught me how to do it.
Better you than me.
Yeah, I wasn't a big fan of bugs either. I had to suck it up and get used to it out there.
Counting bugs. Mm-mm. The things that scientists do to keep us healthy and for studies. So, absolutely.
Yeah, we're trying to use less pesticides. That's the real goal at the end of the day.
Yeah.
To try to see if they do work. And if you do have, if you do grow crops and then do have a small flock, then maybe you can just release your chickens out there. Now, certain crops you wouldn't want to because they would eat them.
Mm-hmm.
But they didn't eat the pole llama beans.
Very, very cool. Great study. Thank you very much for sharing. Any others?
There's actually two studies that, two talks that I actually went to while I was at the Poultry Science Association meeting. One of them, the title of it, I'm going to read it to you. The title is The Effects of Distance and Barriers Between Feeders and Waterers on Productive Performance, Carcass Yield, Bone Strength, and of Broiler Chickens. So basically for this study, the researcher had four different treatment areas. Two of the treatment areas did not have ramps, and they're basically testing the distances between the waterers and the feeders to see how it affected their carcass yield and bone density. So two of them did not have ramps, but the distance between the water and the feeders were they had different distances. One was 3 meters and one was 8 meters apart. Then they had two more treatment areas, which were also the feeder and the water was 2 meters, 8 meters apart, but they had ramps that you had to go up to get to those actual feeders and waters. And after the end of the study, they actually made each of the chickens stand up, and they calculated how long they could stand up to test their bone strength and their bone density. So after, if it standed up longer than 600 seconds, then they just stopped the study. Then they also, to check the carcass yield, they slaughtered them at 49 days of age. And they also measured the tibia breaking strength, which there was no difference found in the tibia breaking strength. But the amount of fat on the birds, it was higher for the ones who just had to walk 3 meters to get in between their waters and the feeders than the ones that had to go 8 meters or the ones that had to go actually up the ramp to get to it. And the ones that didn't have the ramp, the carcass yield was actually lower. And the one with the ramp, the carcass yield was higher. So that was very interesting to see.
So in other words, you're saying that if we start building our homes with a nice long upward ramp to our kitchen, that we once we got there, we could eat more.
We could, because you exercise more. So, you know, exercise more, you can eat more.
I tell myself that every day when I get back from my 2 mile walk and have a bowl of ice cream.
Yeah, you tell myself that too. I love ice cream.
I just walked 2 hours so I can have this homemade Bluebell ice cream with
that
a little.
Was good, Jim.
With
I
a little.
Do it.
Yeah, with a little dab of peanut butter on there too. Shh, don't tell anybody.
Then you got to work out even more to work that off. But obviously, the chickens need to work it off too.
Oh, that's hilarious. So just the difference between, you said, 3 and 8 meters was a difference in the amount of fat on the carcass.
Yes.
Wow. That doesn't seem very far.
It doesn't.
It's like I woke up this morning and walked around the block 9 times, and then I put my son's block back in the toy box. And but I walked around the block 9 times, doggone it. And so at least that's what I tell myself every day when I walk around the block. But, wow, that's really interesting information. It's just those that walked up a ramp even had wow, that's crazy.
Yeah, they had to use more energy to get to their food.
That's pretty cool.
That was
very
cool that somebody even thought of even testing those things.
I know it, especially with, I mean, I could see maybe having to walk, you know, 100 feet, or, I mean, they're talking about 3 to 8 meters. I mean, that's it. And they saw a difference just in that little bit, or up a small incline of a ramp. Fascinating.
Yes, it's like how Brittany was saying about the light intensity with the 5 lux or the 20 lux. Somebody made a comment during that presentation, was like, yeah, you only use 20 lux, but 20 lux isn't that bright. And they were saying, yeah, but it still made a big difference between the 5 lux. So little things can make a big impact.
That, no kidding. That's just amazing. I mean, even for our human health to think, I mean, with the chicken that walked, had to, that's crazy. That's crazy. I think I'm going to have agility. I'm going to have agility training out in my coop now. I'm going to have one of those little things with steps where they go up and down, and little A-frame steps, and maybe I can put some small Tonka toy tires out there, and they can go through the Tonka tires left, right, and so I can have healthier chickens out there. That's fascinating.
They would have more fun that way too.
Good. More toys, more fun. Cool. Thanks for sharing that one with us. That's fascinating.
Give them new things to peck at and run through and entertain themselves.
Oh, my goodness. That's great. That's fascinating. Any others?
There was another talk I attended. It was actually about ducks.
Okay.
It is entitled Influence of Raised Plastic Floors Compared to Pine Shaving Litter on Environment and Pekin Duck Condition During Summer Months. And for this, they used 100 ducks. They had some of them on the raised plastic floors and some of them on the pine shavings. And they actually looked at different conditions, like they did an eye score. They looked at the nostrils, feather quality, cleanliness, and also foot pad quality after 7 days, 21 days, and 30 days. And what they found was And they also did this in the winter and then in the summer. In the winter, on the plastic, the ducks had more plugged nostrils, but that was the only difference that they found. They didn't have, like, neither flooring was better or worse for their foot quality or for their eye scores. The only thing was in the wintertime, they had more plugged nostrils when they were on the plastic. So I thought it would have been, like, a big difference because even now we get our chickens from somebody from our research, and a lot of them do have bumblefoot right now, but they came off of different flooring because we used the pine shavings, and where they came, they were using different shavings. So the shavings
now,
definitely do have an impact on birds' health.
A lot of them that you receive got bumblefoot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of them do.
Now, let me ask you this. I'm gonna be proactive here for a minute and be a little controversial. So we've talked about bumblefoot a lot lately on the radio show, and one of my pet peeves is, you know, because you know, there's one blog that brags about, hey, my chickens got bumblefoot. Woo! Let me show you how to fix it. Yay! They got bumblefoot again. After, you know, holy cow, how many times can your chickens get bumblefoot? It's like, why brag about it? I don't get it. So, you know, instead of bragging about they have it and fixing it, why don't we solve the problem?
Yeah.
So they don't get it. And so it's like, where you got these from, are they realizing they have a high instance of bumblefoot, and are they trying to fix the problem?
I don't know so much if they're trying to fix the problem, but they do know that it exists.
Okay, so we don't care about it. You know, are these ducks? This is with the ducks, right?
Either with the birds.
The birds. So,
with the chickens.
Chickens, yeah. So it's Okay, I'll get off my soapbox.
But when we use the pine shavings, and they don't. Last year they didn't seem to have any bumblefoot, so now I'm working on picking the scabs and getting rid of it and stuff like that to see how they're gonna do. But they came from different litter.
Okay. Interesting. So your study shows that pine shavings seem to be fine.
Yes.
Okay. Very, very good. I'm sure that'll make a lot of people feel good, because a lot of them use actually pine shavings. And, of course, it could be anything out in the run, a piece of glass, something coming up, a sharp root coming up through the run that could, you know, they could scratch, get hurt. You know, puncture flying up on the roost that's got a splinter on it or whatever. And
yes.
So, you know, trying to find, I think, what the cause is and fixing that to prevent it, I think, is a better use of education than bragging that your chickens have it and showing people how to fix it, so like some people do. So very cool. Interesting, more interesting stuff. Had a comment in the chat room that they love listening to this. This is great information.
Well, I'm glad everybody's enjoying it.
Yes, very educational. That's what we're all about, bringing the experts like yourself on the radio show and teaching us and learning more about our chickens in our backyard. So any others?
Nope, that's about it.
That's going to be it. All righty. Well, once again, I'll get into the chat room, and we'll ask everybody to post in the chat room a letter grade for Ashley, and I guess it's kind of like, what is it, not even on a TV, so just from my knowledge of sitting in a hotel room watching it occasionally, we're going to pretend like this may be, we are now the judges on American Idol or America's Got Talent, something like that. So we're judges, we're putting in the letter grade now, and we hope that Dr. McRae will observe these grades that we're giving you, and that will relay to your report card at the end of the semester. I see all A's here for you as well. Congratulations. Plus extra credit.
Yeah, I want to see that at the end of the semester.
Yeah, somebody said extra credit, too. So, in fact, I think – here, I'm going to put I'm going to type in that you should be exempt from the final exam. How about that?
Oh, I appreciate that a lot. I'm going to have to show that to all my professors.
Yeah, absolutely. Exempt from the final. Yep, Ashley and Brittany. Well, thank you very much for joining us. You were fabulous, great, fascinating information.
Thank you so much for having us.
Encouraged me to, maybe I need to attend, or maybe I was out of town, so I couldn't attend that one, but maybe next time around I'll have to go, because that sounds like some fascinating information. So maybe now you're I know that Brittany was working on her undergraduate, so she'll be there next year for Cooptastic. You're already have your bachelor's, I guess, and you're working your doctor, your DeVette,
I'm
I guess.
I'm a master's degree right now.
Okay. That takes a while, so maybe you'll be at Cooptastic where I'll be able to meet you and say hello.
All right.
That'll be great.
Do it.
Thank you very much, and thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you.
Hey, Andy.
Fascinating information.
Aren't they wonderful students?
That is really, really cool. They all got A's in the chat room. So.
Oh, wonderful. I'll pass that along. Yes, indeed.
In fact, I told them, and you can pass this along to actually all the way up the chain to the dean, that the Chicken Whisperer says that they can actually be exempted from their finals this semester.
Oh, okay. Awesome.
Yep.
Well, you're going to have to write a letter to help them through that, because each professor may not even believe that you actually exist. Some of them don't know that much about chickens or whisperers.
I guess the English teachers and the math
teachers. Yeah, the math teachers may not know about you.
Jen, fetch me my pen and paper immediately.
Well, Andy, thank you for giving them this opportunity to share the information with you. It really is a resume-building opportunity. Thank you.
Holy cow, thanks for them coming on, because it was we all learned a lot, everybody in the chat room, myself as well. The studies they did were fascinating. Some kind of reassured what we already knew about the stress level of chickens, and some amazing, something that we've never thought about, identifying stress levels by sound, just really, really neat stuff.
Well, I hope that next year, after they return from the conference, they'll have even more fun and exciting information to share with you.
Yes, and they're welcome to come on any time they want to. And I know that you'll be joining us here. Let me look at the calendar here. Next Thursday, or this coming Thursday, the 16th, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
On. So we'll look forward to having you on and sharing all of your knowledge with us on a great topic coming up next Thursday.
Thank you, Andy. Enjoy your fun Friday.
Hey, thanks. Take care, and we'll see you soon.
Bye.
All righty. How educational and fun was that? Very, very cool. Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD, poultry scientist, small flock specialist. And then, of course, Brittany and Ashley. We've got an undergrad student and a graduate student. Very, very smart and intelligent, obviously, sharing very cool stuff and some studies that they conducted themselves, as well as sharing some information they learned at a big poultry conference at the University of Georgia. So, folks, it is Fun Friday. I think I can probably reach into the fun bag and pull out a few prizes here to give away. So stay with us. We'll be back right after this short break from our awesome sponsors.
You have the chickens, the coop, and the run. But do you have the egg cartons? Don't put your beautiful farm fresh eggs in any old used grocery store egg carton. Impress your friends with your very own custom labeled egg cartons from eggcartons.com. They have a large selection of custom egg cartons, stamps, and labels to choose from. Pick out your new custom egg cartons at eggcartons.com. That's eggcartons.com.
Mount Healthy Hatcheries has been a hatching tradition for over 80 years. Home of the healthiest chicks, Mount Healthy Hatcheries offers a wide selection of bantams, turkeys, guineas, ducks, pheasants, and of course, meat birds and layers. Order online at mounthealthy.com. That's mthealthy.com, or give them a call at 1-800-451-5603. Don't forget to ask about their free bonus chicks offer. Mount Healthy Hatcheries, home of the healthiest chicks.
Pictures of chickens on aprons are common across America, but picture a chicken wearing an apron and you'll probably get a good chuckle. Laugh if you must, but nothing protects hens better than the Hen Saver Hen Apron. Hen Saver Hen Aprons protect your hens from the damage caused by an overly affectionate rooster and may even provide protection from an unexpected hawk attack. Hen Savers come in several different sizes to fit both bantam and standard-sized hens and roosters. Colors include camo, denim, navy, brown, khaki or black, and soon pink. Crazy K Farm is expanding its already colorful Hen Saver collection to include the color pink. A portion of their sales will be donated to organizations that fund breast cancer research and awareness. Order your Hen Saver aprons today at hensaver.com. That's hensaver.com.
Established in 1957, GQF has become the name to trust when it comes to quality products and superior customer service. GQF offers a wide range of poultry products, including incubators, brooders, feeders, waters, and much, much more. Give them a call at 912-236-0651 or visit them online at gqfradio.com. That's gqfradio.com.
It's easy and rewarding to keep backyard chickens, and My Pet Chicken can supply everything you need to get started, including baby chicks, chicken coops, accessories, books, and free how-to information, plus fun gifts and rooster decor. At My Pet Chicken, you can buy as few as 3 baby chicks. They also sell fertile hatching eggs. Visit them online at mypetchicken.com. That's mypetchicken.com.
Oh, yeah!
Really? Somebody actually said Christmas? Somebody must have said the secret word Christmas, and so that's what you get. And that was specifically going out to Fiona, who hasn't joined us in quite a while. So, oh my goodness, God, I love it. So, yeah, let's see. Jessica says she saw Christmas stuff out at the dollar store the other day, and it's not even Halloween. Oh, my gosh. I hadn't seen Christmas stuff out in the stores yet, but I'm sure it would be there, I'm sure, very, 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 very soon. This is Christmas stuff's been out for 2 months in Cracker Barrel. We go to Cracker Barrel quite a bit. I just haven't noticed. There's Halloween stuff in Sam's Club, and goodness gracious. Oh, me. So, yeah, that's normally the dreaded secret word is Christmas, and whenever someone posts it or actually we hear it or they say it, then you get to be tormented by something like this. Okay, that's enough.
Okay, if you happen to know today's early bird secret password, then you need to give us a call right now, 347-637-3237. That's 347-637-3237 if you happen to know today's early bird secret password. You can give us a call. 347-637. Now, if you're listening by phone, no worries. I'm about to hang up on you because I need to clear the switchboard because you may have been actually just listening and then all of a sudden press 1 to speak with the host. Not fair. So I just hung up on a bunch of people because I cleared the switchboard. So they'll call back here in a minute. When you call back in, you want to press 1 and so perfect. And actually, Jessica's wanting to know where she could get the Clucking Christmas Carols, eggcartons.com. They've got 2 different CDs that they have, they're at eggcartons.com. So head on over there, and you can see those. Secret password, yes, Miranda. Love the name, by the way, Miranda. Every now and then, we'll have an early bird secret password. Okay, for those good students that actually come into the classroom on time before the bell rings, and today I was a little late actually myself on getting the secret password out there. Normally it's like right after the theme song or before the theme song or between the 2 theme songs or sometime like that. So Pamela said the secret password earlier, so let me scroll up and see what it is because I think I've forgotten myself. A long time ago. So, and then if you are here on time and happen to hear the early bird secret password, then you have a chance to win a prize. So, thank you very much. Love my fans, the ones that really truly love me. Send me private messages with what the secret password is. Thank you so much. In fact, it's been said quite a few times on the radio show already throughout the day. So, if you know today's early bird secret password, go ahead and give us a call, 347-637-3237, and you will win, it's the prize, a bag of Happy Hen Treats Mealworm Frenzy for your lovely chickens. Yep, you'll win a bag of Happy Hen Treats, from RandallBurkey.com. Mealworm Frenzy. I think this bag contains 3,250 mealworms. How do I know? I counted them. I was so bored one day, 3,250 mealworms in this bag. Yep, I'm giving away insects. No sampling. They're great on salad, though. They give it a little crunch, a little blue cheese dressing with a little crunch instead of croutons, little mealworms. Yum, yum, yum. Extra protein. So, my goodness gracious. A little crunch there with your salad. Nope, these are not for human consumption. They are for your lovely, lovely chickens. So very, very good. 347-637-3237. And let's see. I haven't even gone over to the switchboard yet. Let's have somebody in the chat room. The first number I see posted is the number we'll go to. It's probably, let's say, 1 to 25. 4. That was quick. Okay. Paul Fleming put in there 4, caller number 4. That was really quick. So somebody had to have fast fingers. So let me get over here to the switchboard. And a lot of people were here early and know the secret password, or people were sharing it behind my back during the show. Oh, my goodness. You never know. Okay, here we go. Caller number 4, 1, 2, 3, 4. That was pretty simple. All righty. As soon as it stops spinning. All righty, you're on live with Andy the Chicken Whisperer calling in from area code. I don't see anybody else from this area code down the list. 763. 763, you're live on the air. Tell me your name and what state you're calling from, please.
This is Paul from northern Minnesota.
Now, Paul, did you pick the winning number?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, now, this is fair. There's no exclusion there, but I have no control over that. Paul picked number 4. He has no way to know what caller he is, but he picked number 4, and he ends up being caller number 4. So, but he hasn't won yet. He's got to tell me what today's early bird secret password is.
That is Professor.
Professor and Marianne and Gilligan and Millionaire. Yep, Professor, because we had Professor Dr. McRae today on the radio show. Congratulations, Paul. You've won some Mealworm Frenzy. Happy Hen Treats from RandallBerkey.com. So I know you listen to the show quite a bit. Here's so you know what to do, but I need an email from you, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. That's chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. And then in the email, if you'll put your name, your shipping address, your phone number, and then type your email address it again so I can copy and paste it and get an email over to RandallBerkey.com. So Happy Hen Treats in the subject line. Happy Hen Treats in the subject line, or Mealworm Frenzy in the subject line, doesn't matter. And then a name, shipping address, phone number, and email, and we'll get that out to you as soon as we possibly can. Yes, Thurston and Lovey, and Red-Haired Ginger, and Marianne, and yeah, the other day, the Fam Farm, they picked number 12 as the winning caller, and then, they picked number 11, it says here, and then they ended up being caller number 12. Oh, my goodness. Got to love it. Hey, you know what? That was fun. The early bird secret password. For those of you who happen to be here on time or happen to know friends that get here on time and then can share the password with each other when I'm not looking. It's all funny games until someone gets hurt. Let's give away some more Happy Hen Treats, why don't we? How about that? Happy Hen Treats from Randall Berkey. Oh, yeah, that reminds me. At RandallBerkey.com. Carry all kinds of stuff for chickens, backyard flocks, whatever. 10% off your entire order. Your entire order. You'll get 10% off when you use the coupon code WHISPER. Not whisperer, but whisper. Okay. Oh, that's a great one, Critter Lover. She says, I think MacGyver got his inspiration from the professor from Gilligan's Island. That's awesome. Oh, my goodness. Gotta love it. Let's see. So some more Happy Hen Treats. Specifically, Mealworm Frenzy from RandallBerkey.com. And all you got to do is tell us one of the topics that was shared on the show today by Brittany and Ashley. One of the topics that was shared on the show today, 347-637-3237. First number I see in the chat room will be the caller that we'll take. Again, first number posted in the chat room is the caller I will take. And there's about a 20-second delay from live to when they hear it. So unless you're listening by phone. So boom, Miranda picked three, caller number three. Man, you got to have some fast fingers, folks, if you're going to be caller number three. 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237. I love that he could put a radio together with coconuts, but actually couldn't fix the boat. Yep, got to love it. Pamela says that she is just too lazy to get off the bed and go get her phone. Now, that's pretty darn lazy, but I think everybody in the chat room and listening live and who listens to the archive can completely understand and relate. Raise your hand. Guilty. She's sending her kids to go get the phone. 347-637-3237. Caller number three. If you can tell me just one of the topics that the girls shared with us today, i.e. Brittany and Ashley. And if you can do that, then you're going to win. Let me get over here to the phone lines. And we're going to take caller number three. Here we go. All righty. Caller number three calling in from area code 903. 903, you're on the air. Tell us your name and where you're calling from, please.
It's Megan.
Megan?
From Wendell, Texas.
Fam Farm?
Yep.
See, not caller number 12. Sorry. But we will have fun with that. Actually, caller number two was area code 615. So 615, you were caller number two. So I'm so sorry. But wait, don't hang up, everybody, because if she gets this wrong, then we go to caller number four. So you might be caller number four. So what are one of the topics that Ashley and Brittany shared with us today? What do you remember?
Didn't she discuss the type of like pine shavings to using them with ducks to prevent problems with their feet.
Yep, talked about ducks and pine shavings and bumblefoot and chickens as well, and they had some. Yep, so we can go ahead and give you that, and congratulations. And so let me tell you, caller number 4 happened to be calling in from 805. So close, 805. Caller number 4, just not quite fast enough with the fingers. So, well, congratulations, Megan, the fam farm. And you've, and in fact, since I've got you on the line here, if you would, go ahead and share with us the next prize that I'm going to give away, because you're offering the prize, the next prize that I'm actually giving away. So tell us all about the prize that I'm giving away next.
It'll be $10 off your next order with the Fam Farm for any of their products, whether it be the goat's milk soap, the Castile soap, the lye soap, the laundry detergent, the dishwashing detergent, or anything else we might have in the next short little future. You don't have to use it today. You can use it in the future. Just use it before the year is up. Does that make sense?
Interesting. Yeah. One more time. So a $10 gift certificate to really anything that you have in stock or here in the near future, goat's milk soap, Castile soap, homemade laundry detergent, homemade dish soap, all this all natural stuff, right?
Yep.
All natural.
Yep, we put a lot of love into making sure our stuff is all natural and the best it can be for not only our family but yours.
Perfect. All righty. Jessie's saying in the chat room that she gets free long distance. She gets free 900 numbers. I don't know why. I don't want to know why she knows that, but she free 900 numbers, huh, Jessie? Great. Awesome. Good for you. All righty. Yeah, this is a great question. Do I need to call back in after each contest? Yeah, because normally I'll delete the queue, and I'll just delete, hang up on everybody just to make it fair. So if you're just kind of hanging out and then press 1 to try to be call number 3, it won't work. So we try to get that to be fair for everybody. So the next prize is a $10 gift certificate to any of your products. What's the website where they can figure out what to order or what? Or is there a blog or a Facebook page?
We have, right now we have the web page has a lot of the details, but it's being difficult. But you can go find out about the laundry soap on the web page at thefamfarm.webs.com.
Okay.
I just haven't been able to update it with the goat's milk soap information yet.
Hang on, There we go. I had a little smart aleck remark in the chat room. So, okay, very cool. We're going to do that next. So, thank you. Well, number one, congratulations. Send me again, you know the drill, email chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Put, again, Happy Hen Treats in the Happy Hen Treats or Mealworm Frenzy. In the subject line, and the name, shipping address, phone number, and email in the email. And then we'll get that prize out to you as soon as we possibly can. And we thank you very much for listening. And thanks for offering up the next prize we're going to give away here on Fun Friday. How cool is that? And I'm not gonna hang up on everybody yet. And let's see here. Let me think of another question. Here we go. Yesterday we had on Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, one of my favorite shows. What was the topic from yesterday's show with Richard Frudenberger? The first person to post the number in the chat room will be the winning caller here. Post the winning caller in the chat room, first number I see, and then as soon as I see that number, I will go ahead and, lucky caller number 7, I am now going to clear the queue, so you'll probably get hung up on here, and you'll have to call back, just trying to make it fair for everybody. Alrighty, 347-637-3237. 347-637-3237, lucky number 7. Miranda picked the number again. Maybe she's going to be lucky enough to be number 7 if her kids got back to her with the phone in time. And so also, apparently, you can get 25% off their laundry soap and dish detergent on their blog at thefamfarm.blogspot.com. So there you go. You can see what they're all about at the FAM, T-H-E-F-A-M-F-A-R-M, the famfarm.blogspot.com, 25% off on their laundry soap, homemade laundry soap and dish soap. Alrighty, so yesterday, Richard Frudenberger, publisher of Back Home Magazine, had a great topic that he shared with us. Caller number 7, if they know the answer, is going to win a $10 gift certificate for some awesome goat's milk soap, homemade Castile soap, laundry detergent, dish detergent, whatever you want to buy. $10 off. That's like money in the bank. $10 off. 347-637-3237. You're right, that means I hung up on you. 347-637-3237. Said caller number 7. So let me get down here. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Going to the phone lines right now. Caller calling in from area code 980. 980, you're live on the air. Tell us your name and what state you're calling from, please.
I think that would be me.
That's you, exactly. And your name?
Jessica Ballinger.
Jessica is the big, maybe the big winner. She has to tell me what the topic was yesterday with Richard Frudenberger in order to win this $10 gift certificate.
Of course, speeding up composting.
Speeding up the process of composting. That is 100% correct. You're exactly right. With Richard Frudenberger, publisher Back Home Magazine. Speedy composting. That's absolutely correct. Now, what you need to do is send me an email, chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. Chickenwhisperer@chickenwhisperer.net. If you'll put in there a $10 gift certificate, I'll know who it goes to. $10 gift certificate, and I'll forward that over to the FAM Farm, and they'll get that information to you. And I had to claim your prize, $10 off some of their awesome homemade goods. Very, 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 very cool. Yep, he gave some great information, too. This whole week has been really great, I think, on the radio show. One of our best ever. Lots of great information about backyard poultry, sustainable living, really the whole nine yards. And so very proud of this week's list of shows. Let me just kind of tell you what we have in store for next week. This coming Monday, the 13th, Peter Brown, the chicken doctor. How cool is that? Yes, Miranda, every single day, Monday through Friday at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. So maybe you can become a regular listener like many of the others in the chat room. And again, I'll kind of go through this since you're a first-time listener. Maybe we've got others in the chat room to let you know what we're all about. We do broadcast live Monday through Friday, unless I'm on the road. Sometimes maybe a book tour I'm on or just going to an event or speak at city council somewhere, fighting for backyard poultry. Maybe it's a vacation. Maybe it's something I'm on the road with my wife's work. And so sometimes we're on the road and we can't do a radio show, but that's okay. But we do try to have one Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, right here on Blog Talk Radio with the live chat room, the live radio show. And sometimes when we're doing an event or covering a chicken show or something, we have live HD video as well. So you can, it's like watching TV, and I can wave at you. Hey, Miranda, how you doing? So next Monday, Monday is Peter Brown, the chicken doctor. Tuesday is going to be the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy. And so we've got that coming up next Tuesday. We've got a great topic lined up for that. Next Wednesday is going to be Garden Wise Living with Arlena. She's going to be on Gardening Expert. She talks about year-round gardening. Next Thursday, like we mentioned earlier, Dr. Bridget McRae, PhD, will be here next Thursday. And then next Friday, I think there's a show next Friday, another awesome fun Friday. So that's what we have for next week. Peter Brown, the chicken doctor. What? But Friday's your meet and greet next Friday? Okay, so see, this is a perfect example. Beginning of the year, my wife's a school teacher. She's an online school teacher. She's got a meet and greet for her students. That's next Friday. So there will not be. Perfect example of why occasionally there's not a show. So next Friday there will be no show because we will be on the road probably during airtime. So no show next Friday. But still, Peter Brown, the chicken doctor, Monday, the American Livestock Breeds Conservancy, Tuesday, Garden Wise Living on Wednesday, Dr. Bridget McRae on Thursday. So great lineup for next week every single day. And we have a lot of times guests on the show on their regular scheduled time throughout the whole month talking about backyard poultry, show poultry, urban living, sustainability, farming, gardening, cooking, the whole nine yards. And so we got to love it. So we appreciate you tuning in. It is Friday. It is Fun Friday. Great show today with Ashley and Brittany and Dr. McRae. Plus, we got to give away a few prizes. Don't forget to enter our chicken coop contest. We give away more chicken coops than anybody on the planet. In fact, we've given away three the last 3 months. And so, and then every other month before that for however long, awesomeness. And so all you do to enter the chicken coop contest, which again is brought to you by MyPetChicken.com. Got to love Derek and Tracy over there, MyPetChicken.com. And you have a chance to win. Actually, it'll be your choice of three select coops. They've got, and I'll be putting that up a little later, three coops I believe you can choose from. That's how it was last time. You can choose one of the three and deliver it right to your front door anywhere in the lower 48 states. And all you got to do to enter, very, very simple, is send me an email, contest@chickenwhisperer.net. So that's if you want to enter the contest for the chicken coop, it's a different email than if you want a prize today. contest@chickenwhisperer.net. And when you do that, put chicken coop contest in the subject line, and then within the email, your name, shipping address, and phone number. So we appreciate you doing that. And I think Dragonflyer, go ahead and send me a complete one. You're a longtime listener. You just won a coop 2 weeks ago, but you can enter again since you forgot to put in your phone number or your email or whatever it was. So I appreciate that. So no problem whatsoever. Let's see. Poet's wife won a prize yesterday, and she's already given it away, even though it won't get here for a few weeks. Yeah, you won the brooder kit, and that does take normally about 14 to 21 days to get there. It's coming all the way from California, and so it does take a little while for her to get the brooder kit, and you've already given it away. So I'm sending it to you, and then I guess you're giving it to someone else, because I don't know. I don't recall if that was your address I'm sending it to, Poet's wife, in the chat room, or you having me ship it to whoever you're giving it to. I can't remember. But either way, so regardless. So, yeah, I'll have your email address if you email me information, obviously. So if you don't include the email address, that's fine, because I'll have it because you emailed me the information. So that's fine. I'm not going to be picky about that. But I definitely need your name, your shipping address, and your phone number, because I will be calling you live, the winner, live on the air when the contest ends. The contest started today, and it will actually end. We will stop receiving emails on Thursday, September the 6th at 11:59 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and then we will announce the winner Friday, September the 7th. We'll actually surprise the winner. We'll call them on the radio show live and surprise them and say, so is this Betty Boop? Oh, my gosh, yes. This is the Chicken Whisperer calling to let you know you've won this awesome chicken coop. You're the winner. And Betty Boop says, oh, yay, and then she starts crying, saying, thank you so much, thank you so much. So anyway, that's how it works. At least that's how it's worked in the past. Gotta love it. So, hey, folks, thank you so much for tuning in today. We love you all. We thank you for tuning in. It was really a great show, and I hope you have a wonderful and blessed weekend with family and friends, and we will see you back here this coming Monday with Peter Brown, also known as the Chicken Doctor. And we hope you enter the contest. We hope you'll join us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheChickenWhisperer. And you can be a friend as well. You can find me, Andy Schneider, on Facebook as well. Send me a friend's request. I'll be a friend. Not responsible for what I post on my personal page, but we kind of keep it pretty tame on our professional page. So if you want to be a little bit more crazy and wild, you can send me a friend's request. But, hey, don't get mad if I post something that you don't like. Send me an email. I'll delete it. All right. I love you guys. Thanks so much for staying with us today. Have a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you on Monday. Have a great one, everybody. Thank you. Sounds like they fell off the rooftop after singing. All righty, folks. Have a great weekend. We'll see you back here Monday with Peter Brown, the Chicken Doctor. Have a great one.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.